You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a good holiday weekend, the high holy days. Hope you had a chance, though, really to enjoy family. Everything was peaceful. Everything was beautiful. Seeing friends and family you hadn't seen in a while and network with them, shared a good meal and all the good stuff. And I hope wherever you were, the weather was accommodating for you to do those things. And that's great. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11, or 8 to 10 Pacific time, 9 to 11 Mountain. Okay. I got to get my times right. Other programming we have here. Well, once again, too, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you also can do the shortcut. Just go to babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs for you listening and information pleasures. Other program we have here on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. Saturdays from 7 to 9. And then Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, they're still trying hard to establish. So go to WeBuyBlack.com. So help us establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. You know, and I would hope that that would happen. It should have been happening. And it should have been happening to the point there's supermarkets that are tied to us as a chain, you know, in major cities where we are predominant. So we have a place where we can go shop. We have a place where our kids can get hired or we can get jobs. Okay. Yes. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba is coming home just today. His tour in Tanzania, and that was from the 18th of this month to the 29th today. And I will be talking with him within the week, see how everything went in Tanzania. And then he has the one coming up in December, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania. And brothers and sisters, all these are very affordable. $3,800 double occupancy. Everything is on the website that will help you make this a trip of a lifetime for yourself. All the information, all the things that you need. The payment plan that is there for you to, so you don't have to drop
$3,800 at once. You can spread it out over time. Imagine if you want to go next year to Tanzania. You start now and you drop that $400 deposit, or maybe at the first of the year after the so-called holidays are over, whatever it takes. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, and I'm quite sure there'll be pictures of this tour because he does it, he's on it, and that'll be on Facebook.com/Bomonti. If you want to see videos of previous tours, then you go to YouTube.com/Bomonti2007. Habesha, brothers and sisters. Habesha stands for Helping Africa, Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habesha Works. These programs are Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. The Kashi Project that is going on in Ghana, as we speak, the buildings are up. I'm not sure how far along they are, but believe me, brothers and sisters, work is being done. Everything is happening. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Homeland Village, they're open from Tuesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue, Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. He has all kinds of things, holistic health products, oils and scents, CDs, DVDs, literature, books, jewelry, furniture, clothing, and a vegan restaurant. He's got it laid out. Yeah. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant. Up the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna, which is, as I say all the time, is open for business on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. And if those dates change and I find out, I'll tell you. Yeah, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have everything there. Everything is there. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, I had to apologize to her. Something came up. I was supposed to help her out yesterday. I'm going to contact her, see if she still needs some help. Brothers and sisters, she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and all kinds of good stuff. At the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here, east of Atlanta, on right off of I-20. And in Lithonia, Brother Kazimdi Ajamu, the proprietor, has done great work with the space he has. It looks great. And brothers and sisters, you will attest if you get a chance to go to the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give my good brother Kazimdi Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Also, I'm going to give a shout out to Afroletics. They have a booth in the new Black Wall Street Market. It opened this past Friday. I saw some pictures and it looks great. He has a store in there, Brother Afroletics, which is the African theme sportswear, you know, t-shirts and so forth, with the Rebels, the Dogons, Darcy, the Moors, the Omex. Man, I tell you, yeah, the Zulus. Yep. So check him out in the store. Also, too, my good brother Sajifo at Timbuktu Art Gallery and Jewelry. And my good brother Mike McGee Jr. with the CBD. So those are the people that I know. And I'll know more later because I'm going to be checking them out. I'm going down there to the probably tomorrow and check out the new Black Wall Street Market that is in Stonecrest. It is Allen Enterprises, and he has a bought a I skipped it, huh? I need to go continue through my other plugs on yeah, but anyway, the brother Allen Enterprises, he bought a Target store and a renovated and beautifully constructed Black Wall Street, what Greenwood Street and A.J. Gaston, you know, other theme names and so forth. It's going to be dynamic. Check it out. Also, too, after Habeshaw is the LEDGE group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development Economics, Group Economics, the LEDGE group. And believe me, those brothers and sisters are doing an outstanding job in the areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter, making sure that it's vitally important that Africans have food, water, clothing, and shelter in 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member. You have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. You can buy land in Tanzania. Bibiatumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. Bibiatumi.com. Baba James Small, Professor Small. How to Build Black Institutions and Destroy the Institutions of Non-Blacks, Historical Presidents, and How to Guide, you know. And that is going to be this Saturday. And it's 5 o'clock Ghana time, so that's 1 o'clock here. 1 o'clock in here in the East. 1 o'clock in the East, you can register. Go to bibiatumi.com. You can register for that presentation that is coming up this Saturday. But also, too, remember, they have language classes. You can learn Medu Netcha. You can learn Kiswahili, which is, to me, vitally important. But you can also learn the Akan language. You can do a lot of things on bibiatumi.com. There are things for sale. Brothers and sisters, go to bibiatumi, bibiatumi.com. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Name of the program is Dare to Win. And it's from 9 to 10, from 9 to 10 on Thursday nights. There's a fun number that you can call. You can just listen if you want to, but you also can give your questions or comments or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, please contact my good sister, Shelly Amonsette, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti. Located in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sister Gabrielle really is doing outstanding work. I just seen some information she sent me on what's happening, what they're doing. Of course, they have the educational program for the young children. If you go to sanjay-haiti.org, you'll see the lovely children. You'll see the health care they're providing. You'll see the sustainable agriculture they're developed. And you'll see the entrepreneurship of selling many of the products that they produce. So that's Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Akaban Institute. Akaban Institute. Mama Mabrudi and Baba Yah. In fact, Inya, Mama Yah, there's a program next week Friday, celebrating African warrior heroes. Celebrating African warrior heroes. Oh, she, come on. She rose. Friday, December 10th from 7 to 9 is Eastern time. And it's just the same, you know. Send your request and through PayPal, it's yahbrudy at Yahoo. Or if it's Cash App, $YahMBrudy. Okay. Your name, the name of the program, African Warriors. You know, where is she rose, and then your email address to where you can send the where they can send you the link, and it's $10. Mm-hmm. $10 and $5 for teens. Okay, so check it out if you want to give Mama Yah a call at 404 404-753-7237. That's 404-753-7237. That is the 10th of December, Friday the 10th of December, celebrating African warrior sheroes from 7 to 9. All right. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, they run a school, and they've been doing it for years and have produced some beautiful people that I've met. The brother that was the valedictorian of Morehouse, and he blasted him. You can't find that speech, you know, on YouTube anymore. It was cold. Believe me, I wish you could. I'd love to play it. And so give support Akabin Institute. So you can send PayPal or Cash App money if that's what you wish. But, if you want to send a check like I do, well, I don't anymore. I send Cash App, too, because let me be real. I ain't talking about, but I do write checks. That's what I do. You know, that's how I pay my bills, because I want the people at the post office to have a job. There are more and more people and less jobs. Shit. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you check out Akabin House for the multiple number of books that Baba Broody has for sale, outstanding, akabinhouse.com. So, in fact, we're going to read from the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesem. I tell you, you know, it's always that when I have a topic or something, the Enye Sesem hits right home. It hits right home. Most times. November 28th. Only the African woman can say when and where I enter. In the quiet, undisputed dignity of my womanhood. Without violence, without suing or special patronage, then and there, the whole African culture enters with me. Anna Julia Cooper. African women are timeless standards of decency, incomparable examples of motherhood, wholesome vessels of ma'at, poetic epitomes of beauty, consciously patient caregivers, infinitely intuitive power welders, self-respecting paradigms of femininity, transmitters of divine wisdom, life givers and sustainers of the first order, dynamic, expressive, flowing art forms, knowingly perceptive comforters, nurturing, Sankofan, educators, righteously loving compliments, unrivaled communal balancing scales, handcrafters of cocoa. I appreciate the gifts of beauty, guidance, and dignity that African women bring. November 29th. Attention is the new currency. Chuck D. The attention to which Chuck D is referring to is not of the natural kind which raises between men and women when they feel attracted to each other, between craftspeople and what they create with their hands, or between patients or parents who love their children. The attention to which he is referring is a negative one, one that disrupts the possibilities which innately lie in persons, families, and communities and nations. It is one which divides us into things against each other. He is attempting to draw our attention to the acceleration of a very substantial, damaging trend in socialization and relationships, especially among our youth, though there is no way limited to them, because regardless of age, babies cry for attention. He is speaking about the current childish. He is speaking about the current childish self-centered neediness for attention,
which has progressed over the last few generations. The ease at which our children are controlled because of their weakness that spoilage brings in their willingness to honestly struggle for the individual, elevate identity they so desperately seek. He is asking us to see the disrespect so easily and readily given others while arrogantly expecting all others to hold them in esteem without them having ever earned it. And finally, he wants to draw our active attention to the growing issue of self-esteem in our community. The measurement of one's self-worth based on external opinions and pressures. He is speaking about us becoming consumed by an alien, dehumanized, despiritualized, material focused way. Affirm, I do not have an attention deficit. Affirm, I do not have an attention deficit. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Speaking of Chuck D, I saw him this morning on the news that their November is going to be hip hop month. So subsequent years, there'll be a focus on hip hop culture. Now, you know, I the only problem, of course, I have with hip hop culture, and I know that back in the 80s when it was first developing, it was more conscious. You know, I never forget listening to an NPR interview with Sister Soulja talking about how they co-opted it. You know, how gangster rap took over as opposed to conscious rap. And of course how the big labels came into co-opt it. But it's more than just music, of course. It's lifestyles. And some of it was growing good, and some of it, you know, with the pants down and other stuff that I just, you know, I'm old school because I'm an old dude, you know. And at the time that hip-hop was emerging, I was emerging myself into a more activism, more conscious, you know. Because, I mean, you know, as a young person in the 60s, kind of like fell off in the 70s, you know, got on the fire department, and that helped me in terms of being able to read a lot, to form myself a lot. And so I became involved in various organizations and kind of community stuff. But I seen that that the lifestyle, you know, and once again, if you don't control it, believe me, the people that are in control will, and it won't be good for us. It will never be good for us. In fact, that's what I'm talking today about, tribalism. That's what I'm talking about today. You know, how damaging, and how at one time, there was a respect for different cultural groups on the continent, different nations and so forth, and how with the colonization, and of course we know that the European has always been about divide and conquer. In fact, I read this particular line all the time. I read this piece by Macaulay. Lord Macaulay, his address to the British Parliament on February 2nd, 1835. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who was a beggar, who was a thief. Such wealth I have seen in these countries, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I did not think we would ever conquer this country unless we broke the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose
that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and British is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Yeah. A truly dominated nation. Man. Yeah. And then, of course, I read this one as well. And but pretty much what this Caucasian just said is what's happening. Is what is happening. And of course, what Brother Ezra Erohon, the author of The Sovereign Psyche, what he said is just really pointed, because it's the fact. He says, there is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captives to the point that they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. There is no other historical instance, no other people in the world who another people came to impose themselves and to conquer them, to try to eliminate them. And then once that was over, that people wanted to integrate with those sons of bitches that did that to them, their former captors, to the point where they just completely abandoned. They don't want to have nothing to do. The superior wealth of their own homeland. It makes it very difficult for us. I'm not going to call. Let me take this call. 414-414. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother LaRue. How you doing, man? Good.
I'm hanging in there. I just heard that last statement you made.
Okay. Then you had to comment, huh? Okay,
right on. I had to comment. I had to chime in. But if we look at the people that call themselves Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hispanic people are a people who were conquered by the conquistadors.
Mm-hmm. The Spanish, yep. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so now, to the people in the southern hemisphere of the Americas, they speak Spanish, and they're not speaking their native language. If they are, there's very few of them. Mm-hmm. That I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And the religion that they're taking on is the religion that was put on them by the conquistadors.
Okay.
And those people, they do seek to integrate with the people that invaded them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not the only people who have reacted to this situation in the way that we have.
Oh, I agree with you. Most definitely.
Okay. So when we say we're the only people that do this and do that, we need to take a world view and understand that we're not the only people who have reacted to this situation. Now, the difference is that we call the situation that we were put in, we call that slavery. But they don't have a word for that in their situation.
Mm-hmm.
But no other people has gone through the process that we have gone through in America.
Mm-hmm.
In America. So, but anyway.
Yeah, well,
that's my point.
Well, that's how Africans came. Were there African people or dark-skinned people, melanated people in this hemisphere, Western hemisphere? Of course it was, before anybody came here. No doubt about that. We were the first people everywhere. But the vast majority of African people who are in this hemisphere came this way through that enslavement process by the Spanish and the Portuguese. You know, there's more Africans. Right. There's more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria, and we ain't running nothing in Brazil either. You know.
Right.
So
but
yeah,
what I'm talking about is the people that they call them. They used to be Aztecas.
Mm-hmm.
okay, or they were generally classified as being Indian.
Right, the indigenous people of that land. Yeah, whether they were Aztecs, whether they're Mestizos, Taínos, whatever, the indigenous people of those lands, and many of them were, you know, wiped out, and then those who weren't wiped out assimilated.
That's what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting at. And so, and even because there's a phenomenon that occurs among captured people, and it's consistent across the board. And some people, there's different names for it, but one of them is called the Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm. Identifying with your captor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even Europeans who were captured by the Japanese or whoever they was fighting, especially the Japanese, they, after a while, they began to identify with the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jewish people and Europeans, they're the same people,
they're
though.
The same people.
But they're different.
They're just a religious thing. It's just a religious thing. That's all it is. Exactly.
Right. It's different belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
But even them, when they were captured and were in the concentration camps, they began to identify with the people that put them in the concentration camps. So we have to be careful when we say we're the only people that did this and did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the big distinction comes in is what the so-called American African went through from other people, because we were taken from our land and brought to this land. And so basically, in other situations, other people of captivity and being conquered, they reacted no differently than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we need to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now
I'm going to go to the topic. So you just hang on. Yeah, because I'm talking about, you know, tribalism, how ancient Africa has solved the problem. And, of course, because of colonization, it is exacerbated. It is just ridiculous on the continent. Even when we call for, you know, one Africa and unity on the continent, you know, I've made mention a number of times in South Africa, they're talking about its, what is that? That word, fear of it. It'll come to me. But they're saying that the people coming from Ghana, coming from Nigeria, coming from Kenya and other parts and wherever into South Africa, getting these jobs, and the South Africans, the African South Africans, the Azinians, that's what you should call South Africa, Azinian, that's what the name is, they're very upset, and they're challenging them. They want to kill them, which in essence, who they need to deal with is the Caucasians, which did not give them the proper educational tools that would help them access these jobs, the technological skills that would access them.
Right,
you know?
Right. Right.
Xenophobia. Right. Xenophobia.
Even that is a common phenomenon that occurs around the world.
Yeah, but see, there should not be. We should not even think about using the word xenophobia, because there is no fear. There's fear of outsiders. These brothers and sisters are not outsiders. They're not outsiders. They are from Africa. They're from Africa. They're other Africans. They may be Nigerian, they may be Congolese, they may be Ghanaian, but they're not outsiders.
Right.
And the fact that you want to kill them, you know, because they had a job or got a job that's probably a decent paying job in Azinia, because you couldn't access it, the fault does not rely in them. It relies on the Caucasians, who still run South Africa. I mean, that's a fact. The Caucasians still run south. The Caucasians still runs Namibia. Those Germans. The fact is, and so the bottom line is, they will continue to do this until Africans unite. That's why I give much respect, and I didn't get a chance to go over that with Brother Julius Luima said, because he was confronted with that. He was asked about that. He says, no, I am not going to challenge these brothers and sisters coming here for jobs. These are Africans. I'm an African. I believe in Pan-Africanism. I'm not going to close them out or, you know, right. No.
Right.
We're,
right.
See?
Right. Right.
So,
right.
So this is a serious problem. It has been a serious problem from day one.
Right.
You know, and the question becomes, when are we going to do something about it? That's what the question is. Hold on, Brother LaRue. I got another caller. 602-602. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshie. I'm Brother LaRue, Brother Marcus.
Hey, Brother Marcus. How are you, my friend? How you been?
I've been all right, good brother.
Good.
So I had to chime in today for this topic here because, you know, the African in America, the most despised black man on the planet, the African in America,
Yeah. Is
the one who is the glue, you know. The African in America is the glue. You are the one with the solution. You are the most detribalized African on the planet because of the consistent aggression of the European, and you in this environment, it created a group of people that is racially conscious, the most racially conscious black people on the planet. And when I read that book by Walter Rodney, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, you see how the European use tribalism against the African.
Yes.
No, tribalism is not bad within the tribe. You see, within the tribe, it protects the tribe. But the problem is that it's not inclusive, you see. And that's where the European say, oh, we can use this against them because we use this tribe. Mm-hmm. We side with this tribe more powerful and use them to knock the rest of the other tribes in the head. No, the African again, we have to remember, you know, the idea of Pan-Africanism, you know, it came out of the mind of the African in the West. Mm-hmm. It, that's where it evolved from, you know, that the Pan-Africanism came out of the mind, came out of the West. And that is why it's so important for you to have an integral part in what is going on the continent, because we know how to decipher it. Mm-hmm. We have lived under these people for the 400 years, so we know how they deal.
Yeah.
See? So, you know, that's why they said they have to keep us divided. They have to keep, you can't, you know, they can't stop it, Brother Oshie. It's nature. It's natural law. It's going to happen.
Yes.
It's happening, you know. But I have been here, I've been listening. Sometimes I've been out here doing grinding.
Well,
but,
I'm glad, Brother Marcus. Thank you.
Today, good brother. Please keep on keeping on.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for always listening. Even though you don't call in all the time, but you say you're listening, and I trust you, my brother. I appreciate you.
All right.
All right. Peace, Brother Marcus. Yeah. Yeah, he's right. Yep, the divide and conquer. And even, you know, I've often said that we Africans, particularly here in America, we're some of the most technologically advanced Africans in number. There are Africans in other places, especially on the continent, who are just as technologically advanced, but are in service like we are to the European. We're in service to the oppressor. We don't want to use the skills that we have to come together and to create our own. or to go back to Africa and to make Africa great, to make Africa independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign, and deal with people who want resources from Africa, to get those resources from Africans justly and at fair market value. I played for you that piece with a Caucasian, Nicholas, Howard Nicholas. You can go to YouTube, put in Howard Nicholas, where he talks about why we must keep Africa poor, because we want Africa's resources. We want Africa's resources, and we hope that we don't have to pay a damn dime for it. We must keep Africa poor. We as Africans must come together. The dire need for Pan-Africanism is greater today at this very moment than any other time, especially because if you look at the continent, what I'm about to read to you, and you look at the continent and how fragmented it is, how many countries are teetering on, you know, how some countries have to, China just got, I think it's Uganda's airport. They got Uganda's airport. They have something from Zambezi. Might be the same. I don't, you know, the bottom line is they did the project. And if you know the Chinese, they use no indigenous labor. Everything that the Chinese did, they brought it there themselves. They brought everything there to do the job. They done the job, you pay me. You can't pay me, it's mine. I have a foothold in your country. And eventually, I may mention this many times before, I don't know if the number has increased, but I remember one time I said it was 600,000. 600,000. Might be that of a billion people, could be 600 million people they want to import into Africa. Chinese in Africa. And they will be able to do it. And we won't be able to say nothing. And the biggest people who could say a lot is us. But we tripped out on this bull that's happening here. Begging for voting rights. That's a damn shame. We still begging for voting damn rights. And then, and still again, the cracker says no. Trying to get a bill that talks about anti-lynching. The cracker says no. Quit begging. Stop, family. Stop. Stop. Pick up a book on African self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people. Pick up a book. I don't know who the author could be. There's many books I could suggest. I could suggest some reading materials at a very, I ain't saying easy level, but at least you get started. I wouldn't tell you to go read Urugu right away, or Blueprint for Black Power right away. They're challenging. But there's enough material out there of brothers and sisters from many years ago, from decades ago to now. Open your mind. Begin to think African. Begin to do African. Begin to respect African. Begin to trust African. Begin to love African. And I'm talking about on the continent and throughout the diaspora. And to welcome all of us to come home and to work and build. How ancient Africa had solved the problem of tribalism. This is a few years ago. During a surreal scene, Nula, princess, destroyed in the morning, the construction of a stele in tribute to the Nabu, father of the independence of Cameroon, under pretext that the latter was not from Dula. Such actions echoed the quarrels in the Congo, in Brazzaville, where one cannot agree on a national hero to honor, as each one of them is seen from a different ethnic perspective. For years in Ethiopia, the Oromo people have been fighting head-on the mainly Tigrinya government, just as they had been fighting in Oromo for regimes before. They complain about discrimination. In Kenya, every 5 years or so, there is a semblance of civil war between the Luo and the Kikuyu, choices in presidential elections being made almost solely in relationship to ethnic affinities. In Cote d'Ivoire, 25 years of political crises have lastly created tensions between northern and southern people. Guinea, the conqueror permanently lives on the brink of civil war between the Fulani and the Malinke people, the slightest spark being able to trigger carnage. In Zimbabwe, the Nyabili people argue that they are oppressed by the Shona majority, a confrontation which led to 20,000 deaths in the 1980s. But the most worrying case of all is Nigeria, a country which still does not assume its natural position of Africa and the African world leader, a wobbly giant that is structurally weakened and lacerated by actual ethnic hatred. 2 million Igbos died in the Biafran Civil War in the 1960s. Although there are no displays of hatred in several countries, it is so rare for ethnic groups to live in genuine understanding and fraternity. People look at each other out of the corner of their eye, sometimes with cordial mistrust. How did tribalism end up becoming a major problem on the continent? A problem that jeopardizes our future. Quarrels that no longer even pay respect to the people who have died for the common cause. As you will see, ancient Africa had solved the problem, which was not even one in reality. Studying the past shows us the way to restore peace, harmony, and understanding amongst the people of Africa. I repeat, studying the past shows us the way to restore peace, harmony, and understanding amongst the people of Africa. To fully understand this article that I'm about to read to you, you should document him or herself on the African spirituality, on the role of the king in African thought, and on Ma'at, the African philosophy. The origins of ethnic groups in Africa. Of all the works of Sheikh Anta Diop, one of the most important is to have demonstrated that Africans are the same people and the same religious foundations, the same cultural norms, the same philosophy, the same group of languages, and often the same names. Many scholars following him, like Theophile Obenga, Nephew Biche, or Imbu Besong, have reinforced this concept through their research. Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, the cultural unity of Black Africa. He proved that. That was part of what he did when he linked Kemet, which the Arabs and the Europeans had tried to claim for themselves. And even though it's on the continent, in the northeastern portion of the continent, that is saying that it was not African. Africans basically share the same representation of the world, the same culture, the same value system, and the same standards of behavior. The difference between their cultural, technical, political, and religious institutions only constitute the modalities of the same reality. We all share the same basic identity because we all come from the same people of the Great Lakes and the Nile Valley.
It is from East Africa that our ancestors migrated to the rest of the continent in several waves. The difference between Africans today are real, but clearly peripheral. These are variants of the same identity. Variants. You hear that word all the time now, don't you? These variants. The ethnic groups, see, it's the same thing. They're variants of the same damn coronavirus. And they were variants of the same African people. The ethnic groups, or tribes, which I hate, that exist in Africa today were formed centuries ago, from 500 to 1,000 years ago and in general. Many have coexisted. I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to read this part here. I'm going to take a break, okay, family? Many have coexisted with kingdoms and empires. How have we lived for 1,000 years? Were the relationships as conflicting as they are today? No. Ikulo, the foundation of the African state. Ikulo. E-K-O-L-O. The ancestral thought postulates that in the beginning was none. The primordial water filled of different scattered particles. One of those particles became aware of itself. It's Amana, God. Amana extracts Ra, rays from the sun, from himself, herself. That is to say, a noisy energy which spins itself inside the nun into a spiral movement. It is this spiral that assimilates the particles to form all elements of a harmonious and orderly creation. Amani Ray constantly makes the created being evolve through a principle called Kepra. Kepra. According to the African philosophy, Ma'at, human societies were established in relationship to the laws of creation of the universe. In ancient Africa, the clergy or the vitalists, priests, ensured that Ma'at was applied throughout the country. Different ethnic groups, castes, clans in a state has ascribed to the scattered particles of the nun. The king is the replica of God. He must therefore unite the ethnic groups in harmony and order. Ethnic groups, which are by their very nature different. Each ethnic group retains political control over its territory, maintains its culture and language there. The language of the royal clan ends up becoming on top of the local language. The divisions or roles between royal power and power of the ethnic groups in the territory is defined. Each ethnic group is represented in the council. Each ethnic group is represented in the council, which assists the king in the country's management. Minister posts are shared among these advisors. When the king dies, it is the council made up of all the levels of society which unanimously elects the new king from among the legitimate contenders for the throne or confirms the designated heir. The African political system is therefore that of a federal state. The federal state. As you read, once again, Shiganja Jump. The prestigious kingdom of Benin in ancient Nigeria illustrated here the king's reign with representation of the people make up the kingdom. Under the central government were smaller kingdoms with political autonomy. When the people were conquered, it still retained political control over its territory. Ma'at being applied by the king, the sovereign must maintain harmony, justice, and balance, and therefore cannot practice favoritism. Consequently, all groups benefit from the country's resources. The king must also deal with the counterpowers that are his counselors from ethnic groups. He cannot dismiss them. The people are also driven by Ma'at. Everything is done to maintain harmony and peace between groups. People freely discuss the functioning of the country under the plevelar trees. Discussions can last 4 days.
can last 4 days, not four, but 4 days. All arguments are debated and exhausted. A consensus is finally reached and must satisfy everybody. Deliberations are communicated to the central power, and the king decides by trying to please everyone. The approach is inclusive. The rites and ceremonies often led by the king, who is highly initiated into vitalism and aiming at the strengthening unity, and held regularly. Myths based on historical facts are developed and disseminated to reinforce the feeling of unity. This whole process, orientated towards unity and harmony, order, material wealth, and a perfect state, is assimilated to the Kepra. That is to say, the evolution of creation as defined by God. This is why state in Lingala is referred to as Ikulu. Ikulu comes from the verb kokola, which means to grow together. Ikulu is therefore the African state. It is a multicultural, multilingual, inclusive federal state. It is a state comprising of autonomous ethnic groups who come together in harmony to grow together. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break, we'll continue to read this, and I hope that you will join me in conversation about how vitally important this is for our very survival as a people. It all comes down to this. It is just that important. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesday, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Fridays from 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. America Eats This Young, a joyful process, a joyful process. Funkadelic, Parliament Funkadelic. We want the funk. Gotta have some funk. Yeah, I don't know about y'all. I may not be all that on the hip-hop side, but boy, I love some funk. Well, you know, James Brown did it all. He started it. And it just kept getting funky ever since with Boosie and all of them. Let's get back to the subject. We want to understand Ikolo. That was the maybe brought all the people together, even though we're from different areas, different languages. They understood how important it was that we are one. This very elaborate political structure, Ikolo, disappeared with the European colonization. Whereas in Africa, the state is built from the bottom up, from the bottom to the top. In European, the state is built from the top down, from the top to the bottom. The tribe which takes power imposes its language, its culture on the rest of the country. Other languages and cultures gradually disappear because the one that is dominant will continue to dominate. In this basin, the principle is that not everyone can agree. This is the ideology of confrontation. There's always opposition that does not agree with the government in power. The differences are therefore settled by making the majority triumph. A policy that gathers only 51% of the votes wins. This is democracy according to the European thought. Majority rules. France, for example, is a central monocultural unilingual an exclusive state. All other languages, Norman, Occitan, etc., have almost disappeared to the advantage of France, a language native to the Parisian region, Paris region. Local cultures are mainly folklore now. The progressive wing and the conservative wing of the political landscapes have clashed and criticized each other for decades to convince 51% of the population and to take power. These different approaches explain why Europe states are increasingly experiencing peoples, revolts, and revolutions, whereas Africa, before the apocalypse of the European in that so-called trade, generally knew peace and happiness, attested by all foreign travelers. Although, remember I read that to you, that so-called Macaulay, he said he traveled the length and breadth of Africa. Although there were exceptions on both sides, this is how power was generally organized in these two basins. One from the top down, the other one from the bottom up, us from the bottom up. Today, Africans are running after this democratic model out of breath. We're running after it so much, we're out of breath. Made ignorant of their past, they strive to copy the Western model with resounding failure.
After defeating African militarily, European settlers set out to destroy the structures of African thought. Many vitalist priests were killed. Houses of life, which were education venues, were destroyed. Sacred forests were burned. Holy places desecrated. Worship objects stolen and taken to museums in Europe and all around the damn world. Christian authorities following Islamic authorities have totally demonized vitalism. The rituals, the result is that the structures are supported to promote divine harmony, balance, and order, Ma'at, have disappeared. Africans have adopted confrontation. The second thing was to partition these so-called tribal identities. The ethnic groups were therefore called race, and they were made to believe that they had no links to each other. They were classified, making one believe that they were superior to the other and playing with these antagonisms to divide and rule. They have a picture of one of the cards that you would had to have. Africans have been wrongly characterized by Europeans. This is how the Germans and the Belgian settlers divided the brothers and sisters, a unique people belonging to the same kingdom with the same language, the same culture and religion, through the social professional caste that composed it. They broke the ties and skillfully pitted the Hutus, working people, against the Tutsi ruling class, who previously lived in peace. This resulted in nearly almost 800,000 Tutsis and almost 400,000 Hutus killed since the 1990s in Rwanda. Yeah, in Rwanda. And well, many people talk about Rwanda very fondly and then seen a lot of pictures, but I always want to see it for myself. As the colonists had taken the vast majority of material resource, ethnic groups clashed with each other to get the leftovers, thereby setting up a competition to access the crumbs that Europeans were willing to leave behind. When African states became independent, African people convinced that they did not have their own history and model, or that the study of history is a waste of time, as so many people still believe, have adopted a system of central, unilingual, monocultural, and exclusive state almost everywhere. Ethnic antagonisms being strong, we prefer neutrality by choosing the colonial language as the official language, then slowly letting the country's languages and cultures die. Moreover, they were, from the colonial point of view, considered as inferior, even evil. Ethnic identities being exacerbated, Africans almost always vote only by ethnic affinity. Political parties are basically regional and ethnic parties. The largest ethnic groups take power. It's called democracy. Damn democracy. In the event that the results of the ballot boxes is respected, the president is therefore the choice of his ethnic group and associates. He is there to serve the neocolonial power that reigns with arms in hand and to serve his ethnic group. The latter reserves for itself mostly of the remains that the colonists leave behind. The ruling ethnic group enjoys the benefits, while others do de facto excluded and frustrated. Power being from the top to the bottom, the people no longer feel heard. All of this creates tensions that can lead to war. The other ethnic groups await the day too. Will have power. They await that day too. They will have power. They wait for their turn, as we say in Africa, to enjoy the benefits alone. Many are plotting to make this happen. The imperialist powers used to extend their power over Africa. This is how, during the worst tribal carnage in our history, France armed the Igbo separatists during the Biafra War in order to grab the oil in the region and break Nigeria, which one already knew was a giant in the making. Some children who were affected by the Biafran War, and a cover, the starving children in the Biafran War. These crackers. In a nutshell, It is clear that the issue of tribalism in Africa does not come from existence of ethnic groups themselves. Tribalism is due to Western philosophies and institutions which were absolutely incompatible with African sociological reality. Africans have unconsciously replaced their philosophy of harmony, ma'at, with that of confrontation, compartmentalized their ethnic identities, and see themselves as foreigners, where they know how to give life to their fraternity bonds. Replaced a state respect of all languages and cultures by a neo-colonial, unlingual, and monocultural state. Replace inclusive and conscious ma'at with the majority law alone, and replace the sense of balance ma'at with competition for access to scarce material resources. This is the problem in Kenya, where three Kikuyu presidents and one Keilani president want their turn. This is the case in Zimbabwe, where the Shona represent 80% of the population. Therefore, the Nanabili will never be vitally represented under the current majority system. This is the problem in Guinea, where the Fulani people believe that it is their turn to take power after Maliki and the Susu people. This is the problem in Botswana, where the Kalanga, 10%, want their language to become an official language like that of the Botswana. It is all this has created the tensions we see everywhere in Africa. The solution, therefore, is not to wipe out ethnic groups and invent a unique identity. Africa is already unique. All ethnicity, all these variants of unique African identities are great wealth. The solution is to return to our philosophy and our institutions, to a model designed by us for us. Return to ma'at. African states must become once again ikulo. E-K-O-L-O, ikulo. We are not detribalizers. We acknowledge the historical value of the groups of our people. It is the very source from which the modernization of national culture will spring. That is what Un Inube, father of Cameroon's independence, said. My brothers and sisters, if we do not get control of this madness, if we do not get control of this madness, because it's not about what happens here to us, it's what happens to us everywhere. Because everywhere we are dogged out. Everywhere we are demeaned, disrespected, dehumanized. Everywhere. I don't give a damn if nobody outside of us has respect for us. I care about us having self-respect. I care about us understanding how important we are to each other and how important our women are, our children are, our elders are, and the respect and reverence for our ancestors. I care about that. Our salvation lies on the continent with our unity. There are many impediments that prevent us from attaining, to me, what I consider, as people say, well, what is the end game? What is the ultimate goal? That is the end game. That is the ultimate goal. African sovereignty, total African unity. That is. What are some of the impediments, Brother Oshi? One of the main impediments is the theologies that we believe. Christianity, whatever the hell form you got it in. Catholic, Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever the hell you got it in. Seventh-day Adventist, Islam, whatever you got it in, Sunni, Shiite, Hanafi, Ahmadi, whatever you got it in, and all the other ones. They are not African religions. They are not for Africans. I'm not saying, I'm not going to debate whether the tenets of the religion, the figures in the religion are historical or none of that stuff. I don't give a damn because they're not. What I'm talking about, what it has done to us, what it continues to do to us. A belief in Europeans and their superiority, their forms of government. I didn't get a chance to read that piece last week. Us still wearing them damn powdered, white damn powdered wigs in the chambers of government, in the chambers of law. Other countries who have been influenced by the British, they don't even wear that stuff no more. Hell, the British, I don't think, even wear that bull. But yet today, we are still wearing it with the black robes on and a white powdered damn wig. You know, everybody borrowed from us. So I have no problem with you structuring your legal system to some degree on some things that they have brought. But a lot of it, you could kick to the curb, because one of the things that we definitely must have is laws that deal with Ma'at. In fact, if we had Ma'at or the Nguza Saba, if we practice Ma'at and the Nguza Saba, that's all we need, really. Because that would develop the conscious mind of unity, not of conformity, but of purpose. For us as a people, for the male, the female, the children, the elders, the protection, the understanding and how we deal with each other and those who are outside of us. Brothers and sisters, join this conversation. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. There's a number of y'all that are on the queue. If you want to have conversation, please hit star twice. Hit star twice and we can have some conversation. We got a half hour, y'all. You know, I'm not saying that to say, because I could talk for a half hour. I could do that, you know. But I would love to talk to you and find out from you how you feel. You know, number one, you know, I could talk about the most current things that are happening in this country. As if you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get that from, you know, if you're a person who tries to be aware, then you're going to watch the news, the local news, the national news. You know, you're going to listen to maybe NPR or something like that. I don't know. So you're going to get that. But what you're not going to get is an African perspective. The news looking at it from our viewpoint. And how it affects us and things that are going along that are happening with us. Because that's what this whole thing, the so-called critical race theory bull is. I'm saying it's bull because of how they labeled it and how they're perpetuating it. The bottom line is we want to talk about history. And we want to look at history from our perspective, from our vantage point, and how it has affected us. We want to look at Europeans and what they have done to us historically. I don't give a damn if it hurts little white kids. We have a caller. Caller. Unknown. Is that you, Paul?
Yes, it is, sir. How can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, man, very clearly. How you doing?
Oh, that's good.
Good.
Well, you know, we're alive and kicking, so we just got to do better, Ochi. Just got to do better, and better we must do. That's it.
That's right. You're right, brother. We do.
Just got to do better.
consistently every day. Every day is a challenge. Every day you have an opportunity to wake up. That's a blessing. And you do something.
Absolutely.
You know, you do something to further our people along, further yourself along personally and our people along. You know, always must do better. I agree. You know.
Yeah, we got to give thanks for that. Give thanks for that. Well, you know, first of all, you know, just like to say thank you for just keeping up good work and keeping the fire burning. And just to address some of the things which I've heard today. You know, there's no doubt that today in 2021, we're probably under the most severe attack we've ever been under.
Mm-hmm.
But this attack is not like the attacks before. And the reason it's not, because of the use of sophisticated forms of technology.
Right.
So, one, it almost comes like a form of a spiritual attack because one doesn't see it. One doesn't identify the line of causation.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't see it. That can't mount it up. What do I mean by that? For instance, chemicals put in the food,
mm-hmm.
genetically modified food, which by now, today, we know that they have the technology to make it ethno-specific.
Mm-hmm.
We know that because for a long time, they developed strains of pesticides which they can grow, modify the plant to produce the actual pesticide and target specific insects. And it's known as mRNA. Now, for the first time in human history, they are using that in something that they call a vaccine, which is not correctly termed, but they're using
Oh, Paul, man, you're just getting started. Paul, if you can hear me, I cannot hear you. Please hang up and call back. See if that'll work, brother Paul. Because
hello,
yeah, okay, yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, stop now. Okay. Hello.
Yes, go ahead. I can hear you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know where I got up to.
Well, you were talking about the vaccines, you know, and I read a piece where they're talking about developing salad, lettuce, that the strains of vaccine are in it. And so when you eat the salad, you're taking the vaccine.
That is the use of technology.
Yes.
And this is where we're at. And so when one tries to break it down and explain to those who may not be up with technology, may not have that inkling to follow technology for one reason or the other, because not everybody wants to follow technology, not everybody is interested in it. So to them, it becomes kind of mystical. It becomes like something out of a fiction movie, a science fiction movie, when in reality, for those who have been following this for a long time, it's absolutely real, and it's been achieved. So when we look at the history of those who so-called colonized us, raped, robbed, murdered us, isn't it a bit, to get this right, it's kind of naive, and that's putting it politely, to think that those who have a precedent and a history for this form of abuse, is specifically on an African people, but in 2021, when natural world resources are running out through the constant exploitation and use of them,
wouldn't come up with a plan to further advance their future. I mean, that is not unreasonable. So at what point do we come to the realization that we are being annihilated off the planet?
You know, one of the things that is problematic for us is that we don't look at our history. We don't look towards our scholars, our historians. You know, we believe whatever they want us to believe. And even though it has been openly stated for a long time by them, Ben Wathenberg wrote a book, The Decline of the West, way back in the 80s. He said there is a dearth of Europeans and their populations are decreasing. Their populations are older. And with this virus came in, one of the things that became very real was the impact on Europeans, on Europe itself, on the Spanish, on the Germans and Italians, who are older population. And then, of course, here in this country, the Europeans, the Caucasians, who are older population. The average age in Europe was about 40 years. The average age in the United States, about 35. But the average age in Africa was about 20. That's why the coronavirus didn't hit Africa as hard as it hit in those other places. But also understand, other scholars looked in and said, hey, look it, they're experiencing this. They're experiencing annihilation. Their genes, if they mix with other people's genes outside of Europeans, people of other ethnicities or people who are melanated, they have the ability, they have the possibility of being genetically annihilated, because people who are melanated's genes are dominant. Europeans, Caucasians' genes are recessive. And so do I think that the people who understand that would not try to develop something that would eliminate people who have the potential to eliminate them genetically? Let's be real. Let's think. So, you know, with the technology, with all the things at their disposal, with all the things that they can do, yes, Brother Paul, you're right. It seems like science fiction. I remember I'm at the firehouse and this Caucasian named Roger, who was my driver. I was the captain on the engine. We were watching Enemy of the State with Will Smith and what's the name? I can't remember the name right now. But anyway, it was about tracking and how they can track people. They have cameras everywhere, little small cameras, and track you and look at you and watch you. And he said, Oshi, can they do that? Can they really do this? Because this is a movie. I said, Roger, they can do that and more. Because they were sending drones in that movie, drones, and remotely killing people. No, they can do that and more. So, you know, Paul, you're right. You're right. And so, go ahead. You broke up on me, Paul. You broke up on me. You want to hang up and call back and see if that works?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. That sounds good. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's if we're trying to frighten people, because it's basically based on what you pay attention to. And they have become expert at creating diversion and distractions, absolutely profound at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Causing people to look away.
Yeah.
And even consent to their own demise. So, without apology, I can't remind people, you're under severe attack. And if you're not, why have they all of a sudden changed? I mean, we are told, and most people who understand these things knows, that this thing was brought to China. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Created in America.
It was created in China. You're saying it was created in America and was brought to China.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Brother, absolutely. Let me say this to you, Paul. I've been dealing with conspiracies and so forth, understanding what is, as an African, as a black man, and dealing with these people. When you throw something at me, I try my best to see if it's plausible and see if I can do some research myself to substantiate. That's why I know AIDS was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland, and put upon people in the gay community and in the black community. It is a fact that many people like Fauci, that's why to me he has no credibility. Even though he's been in the position he's been in for decades, because when he said that was back in the 80s, and he's still been at the Institutes of Health all that time. And he's been involved in this situation for a long time. I have no faith, no trust at all in that man. He has no integrity as far as I'm concerned. He, along with Bill Gates, are into population control. And there's no doubt that I believe that these vaccines and the virus itself are designed for population control.
Let me just. It's fact that this European war called.
Man, I wish I could hear you good, clear, Paul, because you keep breaking up on me, brother. But you're calling from the UK, and of course, what you're talking about, of course, is very deep. And I have, you know. I believe that these airways.
Hello?
Yep, I can hear you good.
Oh, good. Well, I've had to move outside. So anyway, this is what I'm saying, Brother Ochi. I mean, for those who are paying attention, Second World War, World War II as it's known, or the common white war in Europe. 64 million people plus died. Never in prehistory or since then have so many people been killed in a conflict. Now, we were told in that Second World War that this person we call Hitler, his objective was to exterminate the Jews, yeah, the Nazis of the Nazi Party. Now, ask yourself a question. Why were those Nazis taken from Germany and brought to America? Why did that happen? That's not theory. That's a fact.
Yes, it is.
They've even got a name for it. They call it Operation Paperclip.
Yeah,
it's there. It's not a conspiracy theorist wrote it. They wrote it. It's in their documents.
Yes,
they brought them to America. The Nazis.
Many of them worked inside. They changed their names. They were sheltered. You know, they worked in.
They were given everything. They were given houses.
Yes.
They was even given Germantown.
Yeah.
Germantown. You know, you could never put a Germantown in England. You couldn't do that because these people will go. They're going to meltdown.
Yeah.
Although that's their closest relatives, but they hate them. They say, but they've been brainwashed. They hate them. But they got a Germantown in America. And by the way, I'm just connecting the dots, okay? They brought them to America. They brought them to America for a reason. They gave them strength and power, the Office of Strategic Studies. OSS was the forerunner, I understand, to the CIA. Am I making this up?
Right, no, go ahead. No.
Were they not Nazis?
Yes.
Most of them were Nazis who formed that. OSS. They were Nazis. Did you know that?
Yes.
That was a Nazi operation. And the Nazis, for instance, they represented the Pope in the Second World War. Did you know that, too?
Yes, I did.
They were Catholics. Hey, so if you think, who was it? Don't catch Africans. Wasn't it the Pope of Rome? I'm not making this up, brother. The facts are there. So if you think in today, 2021, in just over 100 years, these people have changed, you're crazy. Anybody who thinks that is absolutely off their mind. They are experts in annihilating people, especially people of color. They do that.
Yes.
That they just see that as their operand. That it's second nature to them. So why would anybody think that they have our best interests at heart? It's lunacy to even think that.
Yes.
But the bigger problem is, Baba Ochi, what are we doing to defend ourselves? It's the biggest question. What are we doing to defend us? Going along to get along, marching, shouting, dancing, prancing. How is that going to be a defense system against these psychopaths? How is that possible?
You know, one of the main problems, once again, is the theologies, but also to the culture. European culture is captivating. Entertainment, the movies, dancing, music, it's captivating. To all these distractions. And all of it to make you think, hey, I could be, you're a part of this too. Enjoy. All the while that you are being set up for your elimination. And see, we don't want to think like that. That's why we haven't developed an independent school system for ourselves completely. We rely on these people. We have bought into their culture. And to us, it's a subculture because you're not welcome into the dominant culture. And the subculture is very bad for us. The subculture is very degrading. The subculture makes us hate ourselves because the subculture is not African. It's not African. It doesn't promote unity. It doesn't promote respect. It doesn't promote complementarity between men and women. What it does is it makes you follow what America's about. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And the people we have been pegged, or the image of us, are we are the most violent prone people in this society.
So, you know, I phone in to say this. This is the overall objective why I make this phone call. Because I heard one of your callers say, I'm paraphrasing, so something along the lines of African Americans, no one has suffered or gone through what African Americans have gone through. Well, if that's the truth, I'd like to put to him, this crazy psychopathic madness and agenda to kill Africans off the planet is coming out of America. And I'd like to say to him and make him realize that you have a responsibility, because this is coming from the heart of where you're at. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. These Europeans couldn't achieve what they achieved without their military arm called America or the New Atlantis. They couldn't achieve it. That's where it's coming from. So it's not just a matter of suggesting that we've been through so much and nobody else has been through that. What is the responsibility? The responsibility is getting this thing stopped.
Right.
That's the responsibility, you know.
See, the first thing is the majority of our people, me and you and the people who call, the people who listen, we're a fringe. I just got to be real. We're not the majority of our people. The majority of our people believe in this madness. They go along with it, you know. the majority of our people could never believe that these people would be that evil, that devious, although all that has been there in front of their face for decades, for since they've been captured and brought here. It's been in their damn face. They refuse to deal with it. They refuse to see it. They refuse to act upon it in our interests. We go along to get along. We believe. Because ultimately, if I get through, then that's great. If your ass don't get through, then hey, sorry, dude. Because it's about me. Individualism. That's why the theology is so accepted, because it also preaches individualism. I'm saved, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. But that's not our way. And that's why it's a detriment to us. And that's why it will be our downfall.
This last thing I'm going to say, Baba Ochi. The many are called, but the chosen are few. And the propaganda they'd like to push in is that you need the many. Really, in reality,
you don't
need the few.
That's right.
Because, you know, the reality of it is the nature is that most people tend to follow as opposed to lead.
Right.
So we have to protect the leaders because they're the ones who are going to make the difference. And they have sown so much propaganda among us that we don't even recognize the leaders anymore, but we have to.
Right.
And the leaders have to step up. You know, Baloji, let's say something slightly contradictory here. I mean, I don't really accept that we're just going to unite like that. No, I've never accepted that. I don't think I've ever accepted that. I think we're going to unite with a struggle, and that struggle is going to come out of maybe even conflict. Some of us are going to have to die in that conflict. And the ones who are the strongest and the most determined are the ones who are going to survive. If you're not strong enough and you're not most determined enough, you're not going to survive. Simple as that. And that's the philosophy I have in my heart. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to follow. If I go for it, I'm not strong enough, then I don't survive. I'm not fit to lead. We need leaders who are fit and strong and determined, not people who are weak and just shut off their mouth and pretend. We don't need them
anymore.
Not today. We need real people who are going to do real things. That's what we need today. And that is the reality of it. If you're not fit enough, strong enough, well, sit back, take a back seat.
Yeah.
Take a back seat.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is what we need today. And, you know, we have to protect those leaders because this is real.
Yeah.
You know? So unity is going to come through struggle and conflict. That's what it's going to come from.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way it's going to be. I don't think unity is going to come from pretending, acting.
No.
I don't think.
It's going
to come through, you know who is the strong? Who's the most determined? Who really wants this? The most?
No, the unity will come from the reality.
If we really search in our history, I think we're meant to be here for so long.
I know. I think the unity.
Not those who are prepared to stay on the slave.
Yeah.
Because the slave master was there to get up at night, kill all the slave master's children, burn down the house, and get out of there.
See, I think the unity will come from us finally realizing, after all this bullshit that we've gone through, that the onus is on us. This is for us to decide. We, as African people, on the continent and throughout the diaspora, coming together to say, this is what we're going to do. We have begged you. We have pleaded with you. Get your asses out of Africa. Africans in the diaspora, if you want to come home, come home. If you want to stay wherever you are, in the UK, in France, in America, wherever you are, you stay. You stay. But we're coming home. We're kicking them out. We're closing ranks. We're pulling resources. We're making it happen. If it can happen in other places, and it has, like in China, Mao Zedong came in, closed it off, got rid of people, killed people. If we got to kill people, we kill people. We kill traitors. We kill those who would attempt to. We got to, whatever we have to do to come into the reality of who we are in this century. In this century. Because nothing is promised. Nothing is promised. We think, because we too sing America, that, oh no, that can't happen to us. That we have rights. You know, damn rights. We think because we're in Europe that we're French, that we're German, that we're Spanish, that we're English. No, you ain't. The only place on the face of this earth that is ours unequivocally, undeniably, is the continent. That's why I strongly believe in Pan-Africanism, strongly. And those of us who understand it as well come together and make it a reality. Because it, to me, is the only salvation for us. Because if you just said what you said and what I've been saying, that's the reality for Europeans and what they're trying to do to us. And if we understand it and we know that, we challenge ourselves to go against it, to remove ourselves from it, to get ourselves out of harm's way. I'm at the top of the hour, Paul. Give me some last words, my brother.
Well, absolutely right, Baba Tree. All I'd say to that is that that new Zion, that mm-hmm. home talk about Africa must start in the mind. Must start in the mind.
That's right.
Wherever you are on the planet, it must start in your mind, and you must be able to create your own reality.
That's there right. It is. It's in the mind. That's right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you, man. Have a blessed day. Hope you continue to listen for the rest of the week. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Biva Hodie. Biva Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.